Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and God is a good God. That just flowed through my spirit. Excuse me. Welcome again this week for Spirit and Soul and Body, our topic with Andrew Womack. And I am so glad you brought Jamie with you so I could see her again this morning.
I am too.
Because she's so precious to me.
She's a blessing.
Yes, she is. KCM.org story, testimonies, they're extremely important. My family and I, before God, I didn't read this. It just popped up. Spirit, soul, and body. My family and I have seen the goodness of God in our lives through the principles taught on Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, especially the principles of faith, seed time, and harvest. I personally remember sowing a seed, putting my faith out, believing for 300 pounds, which was, well, so it's British. I personally remember selling a seed, putting my faith out, believing for 300 pounds, which was a significant amount at the time. Not long after, I received an envelope through the door containing the exact amount, the principle that Brother Copeland often talks about from Mark 22 through 24, how faith in God. He's taught us to speak the mountain-like situations, not doubting, even when everything seemed contrary. We also learned that having done all to stand therefore. As a family, we saw the power of... Stop it, Copeland, that's stupid. As a family, we saw the power of this when we believed for our own home and moved to Bath. That's our headquarters in England. He's home, folks. Praise God. To begin working at Kenneth Copeland Ministries Europe, Andrew, England. Andrew, forgive me for the goofy accent.
I thought it's pretty good.
Did you think it was
awesome? I thought it's pretty good. But Andrew may not like it, but I thought it's pretty good.
Well, it's a good idea.
Yeah, no, I can't do that. I can barely speak English.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Andrew.
Amen.
Praise God forevermore. What a blessing of the Lord. You are such a good God. Do you know that was Oral Roberts' theme song? And Richard would come on thinking it, praying it, singing it. Stuart Hamlin wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
God is a good God. And there's another version of it. Anyway. Spirit, soul, and body. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul made up of your mind, your will, and emotions, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calls you, who will also do it. Praise God.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
So, Kenneth, we were talking about when I got this revelation that it was in my spirit that I was saved. My body and my soul's not saved. One of the applications of it, the very first application, I believe that God was almighty. I believe that when you gave testimony about seeing miracles happen, I believed in faith and all that stuff. I had no doubt. I just doubted that I had enough of it. So I spent a huge amount of time just begging God, oh, touch me and please give me more. And I found that this is where most Christians live. They don't doubt God. They just doubt that they have enough to be able to receive. You know, for instance, I've been blessed to be able to see a number of people raised from the dead. And most people that come to my meetings, they believe that or they wouldn't be at my meeting, because it's not your Church of the Frigid Air. People are expecting something. So they believe that, and if somebody was to die, we had a little baby die in our service, and we got this on video, and the mother ran up to the front and just put the baby on the platform in front of us, and we prayed. There was about six of us that prayed, and this baby just was raised from the dead right in front of 3,000 people that were in our meeting. So anyway, most people believe that, and if somebody was to die, and I say, how many of you believe that God will raise this person from the dead? Nearly every hand would go up. They believe God can do it. And I say, how many of you believe if I pray it'll happen? And most people would probably agree, and they'd want to come up there and see it. But if I say, all right, if you believe it, you come up here and pray. And all of a sudden, their faith turns to fear. Their excitement turns to dread. They didn't doubt God. They didn't doubt that faith works. What they doubt is that they have enough of it in order to see things happen. And so that's what I was dealing with. I didn't doubt that any of these things were possible. I just didn't feel like I had enough of the power of God to do it. So this teaching on spirit, soul, and body, when I understood that my spirit was born again, it's identical to Jesus as He is, so am I in this world, that I've already got faith in my spirit.
There's only one Holy Spirit.
That's right. And I got the same one you got.
And it's the Spirit of the living God. And it's right there in verse number 1, Genesis 1.
Yes, sir.
In the beginning, Elohim. El, God, came, plural. Let us make man in our own image. So that's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit was moving on the face of the deep. Nothing happened. Genesis 1. Mm-hmm. Nothing happened. The Spirit was moving on the face of the deep. God said, I believe it's Jesus, because He's going to have to come here. Light be. Light. Wow. 186,000 miles a second. 24 hours. 16 billion miles of universe. And that's the spirit of soul and body. Right here. He is the author of this book.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
44 writers over centuries, and all agree.
Amen.
As pointing to one man, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God.
Hallelujah.
That's the miracle of this book. That's the reason that, well, anyway.
So when I begin to understand that I already had that supernatural power on the inside of me, and it wasn't a matter of me getting it, it was a matter of me releasing it. That changed.
How did the name of Karis Bible College, how did that name come?
We actually were called Colorado Bible College at first, and then we started another college in England. And I thought, I can't name it Colorado Bible College. And so Wendell Parr, who was one of our instructors, he says, well, why don't we call it Charis, the word for grace, the Greek word for grace. And so he's actually the one that came up with that name. And it was just a necessity when once we started branching outside of Colorado. That's how it came about.
Praise God. All you needed was a T on the end of it.
There you go.
That's just precious to me.
So let me share this passage of Scripture right here out of Matthew chapter 17. This is where they brought a boy to Jesus to cast the demon out. And the disciples couldn't do it. So when Jesus came, He said, bring him unto me. And He cast the demon out. And the disciples asked, and they said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, it's because of your unbelief. Now, Kenneth, this was a revelation to me, because I never even really considered unbelief. I thought that if you just had faith, you either have faith or you have unbelief. But I never thought that you could mix the two. And yet he told, you know, the Jairus when his daughter was, he was going to heal his daughter, and they said that, don't worry the master, she's already dead. He said, fear not, believe only.
That's right.
Because you can believe and disbelieve at the same time. That was a new concept to me. I thought that if I had any unbelief, it must mean that I don't have any faith. Or, and if I have faith, that wouldn't mean that I have no unbelief. And yet Jesus said, you believe only. And right here, when the disciples said, why couldn't we cast him out? He says, it's because of your unbelief. Now, this was a total revelation to me. And he goes on to say, he says, for I say unto you that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So I'm not trying to disparage any translation, but some of the translations will say it's because of your little faith. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that's it at all, because it goes on to say if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, right, you can cast a mountain into a sea. So it's not little faith that's the problem. It's your unbelief. And this was totally brand new to me. I realized I had the supernatural faith of God given to me at salvation. I've got as much faith in me as you have in you.
Absolutely.
But I didn't have my mind renewed. I had so much unbelief that it was blocking the release of that faith. It negated it. It diluted it. And so what I began to recognize is when Jesus said, why couldn't we cast them out? These people believed that they could cast demons out. And in the 10th chapter of Matthew, they had already done it. He gave them the command to go heal the sick, and he says, I give you power over all unclean spirits. They had already cast out demons, so it's not that they didn't believe. They had faith, but they had unbelief. And with that going into a great teaching on it, over in the 9th chapter of Mark, the same thing is recorded.
They marveled at their
heart. And over there, it was when they brought the boy to Jesus, he fell on the ground, and he wallowed and foamed at the mouth. And I personally, this is Andyology, but I believe that what happened was that they had cast demons out before, but in this instance, the boy manifested and began to wallow and foam at the mouth. And when they saw it, their senses gave them enough unbelief that it counterbalanced their little mustard seed amount of faith. And so that was the problem, not a lack of faith, but the fact that they had all of this unbelief that was blocking it. And so in the next verse, and that translation I was talking about that uses little faith, it doesn't even include the 21st verse. They just took it out of the Bible, which I think that's terrible. But it's not even in that version. But right here in the King James, after he had told them it was their little faith, he says, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And most people interpret that as this kind of demon only goes out. But that's not what it's
talking
about.
That's not it, because that couldn't be it.
No, sir. There's no demon that won't respond to the name of Jesus and faith in His name. That's awesome.
This kind of unbelief.
That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. I've never heard you teach on this. I was hoping we weren't contradicting each other. But I believe that the subject was unbelief.
Yes.
And he was saying this kind of unbelief.
And two, if you read the different accounts, they were arguing with one another. Well, who's the greatest here? Well, what he said this, what do we do? So their strife had to do with it. And so many times, Peter would ask the question. He was bold enough to do it. And you see it in the Last Supper. Who's the betrayer? So Peter came over there to John and said, ask him. John, I'm transplanted. John said, you ask him. No, you ask him. Even right there. Mm-hmm. And John brings it out. Anyway, but that's any kind of strife, cross-questioning, and you wind up questioning, I know Jesus must be correct, but I don't understand this.
That's unbelief.
Yeah. And we've never seen anything like this before.
It's unbelief.
That little boy I thought he was dead. Look at that coming out of his mouth. What could that possibly be? Jesus just said, bring him here. And he said, oh, you little faith, how long am I going to be with you? And the fact he's lying there on the ground didn't mean anything to him, because he knew the devil that was in there, and they knew him. That's the reason he wouldn't let them testify for him. And he just picked him up and handed him back to his dad and said, you know, go on home. Spirit.
Yeah.
In this room, there's another level here.
Yes,
sir. It doesn't have anything to do with that ceiling. And it's the spirit realm. And it is forever connected to this planet. And because of George Washington, it is ever connected to this nation.
Amen.
First President, you'll be our God, we'll be your people. The spirit realm. And Andrew, I saw it. It's the light line. Here was Adam, above the light line. He could see God. He talked with him. He could see him. They both could see him. And they were spirit, soul, and body. His name was Adam, Red. But then the moment she took of that fig, down below that light, he couldn't see God. He could hear him. He fell below that light line, and we've been there ever since. But Jesus, the light of the world, Christ back up here.
They were so in the spirit realm that they could relate to God, and we've been so in the carnal realm we couldn't relate to God.
And once then, they had perfect bodies, but all they'd ever seen was the glory of God, and this physical body to them was ugly, and they tried to cover it up with fig leaves. But a sacrifice was made.
You know, in a sense, the opposite of what happened to Adam and Eve happened over in 2 Kings chapter 6, where Elisha prayed that his servant's eyes would be opened. He had been living below that light line. He had been living in the natural. And then all of a sudden, he could see into the spirit realm. And the spirit realm didn't come when he saw it. It was already there.
That's just when he saw it. Horses and chariots of fire.
That's awesome.
Doesn't that thrill you?
That's awesome.
That's spirit. And that's where my heart was going with that. But because they were always there.
Mm-hmm.
Elisha knew they were there.
Yeah. And it doesn't say that his eyes were open. He didn't have to see it because he believed it.
He knew it. And that, sir, is the reason he's not here anymore. He and Enoch.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's good. You know, let me just finish this if we can before the program's over. But when he said, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting, this is an ideology. But I've kind of categorized unbelief into three areas. One is just, you know, ignorance. If you don't know the Word, you can't have faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So if you don't know something, you have to hear the truth, and that's how you overcome that kind of unbelief that comes through ignorance. But then there's a second type of unbelief that is not ignorance, but it's wrong teaching. And this would be like if, you know, we had a blackboard or something here behind us. If you have nothing written on it, all you have to do is just start writing on it, and you overcome that. But if you've had the whole thing written on, but it's got the wrong belief on it, then that's harder because you have to erase something before you can put the right stuff up. So that's the second type of unbelief. But the answer to both of those is just you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But then there's a third type of unbelief that I believe he was dealing with here, and that's the reason he said this kind of unbelief. And that's unbelief that comes through your sense knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
That if you pray for a demon-possessed boy and if he falls down on the ground and foams at the mouth and it looks completely contrary to what you're believing for, then you got to overcome your sense knowledge, just what you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. And that kind of unbelief only gets cast out through much prayer and fasting. And the reason for that is because when you're praying, you're talking to a God that you can't see, you're listening to a God that you can't hear, and when you fast, you are denying your senses.
Well, Andrew, Daniel proved that out. He didn't have the name of Jesus. He proved it out.
Mm-hmm.
He would fast. In one case there, he fasted until Gabriel came and said, "Fear not."
Yep. 10th chapter.
We've heard you. We heard 21 days. We heard you when you were supposed to pray.
Yep. And so fasting doesn't make God more prone to respond to us. What fasting does, it diminishes this sense knowledge. Mm-hmm. We're turning away from our senses and we're operating in that spiritual realm and we're honing our spiritual senses. So what fasting does is bring out the life of God that's already in us. Again, this is that spirit, soul, and body.
Andrew, go into the fasting part of it there.
Well, when you fast...
Where your own life is concerned.
When you're fasting, you're denying your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're sitting here saying, "Body, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. I command this pain to leave." If you've never denied your flesh is going to say, "Who are you to tell me anything? I tell you what to eat, when to eat, how much to eat. You haven't told me what to do in decades." And so, but when you start fasting, your body will just scream, "Feed me." And when you start denying it, it'll come into submission thinking that if I don't shut up, this guy's going to keep fasting forever. And so it'll have to yield and submit.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, you know, like it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, that strong meat belongs to those who by reason of use have their senses. That's talking about there are senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You can submit these senses under the control of the Spirit, but it has to be done on a consistent basis. And that's what he's talking about. The only way you can get rid of this kind of unbelief that comes through your sense knowledge is to spend time praying in the presence of God and fasting, denying yourself and getting to where your senses are submitted.
And as you do, the answers to it will come.
That's right.
The vision of it. And he'll quicken you to the Scriptures.
Amen. So, man, this just changed me. Instead of saying, "Oh, God, give me more," I started saying, "Father, thank you that you've given me everything I need to succeed." The problem isn't you not giving. The problem is me having so much unbelief that is blocking the flow of you through me. And so I start getting in and praying and seeking the Lord and fasting, not to get God to move, but to get me out of the way. Get my flesh out of the way.
That's it.
And it changed everything.
You have to pull away from the body, put the mind under subjection. And when you do that, it brings you back up above that light line.
Mm-hmm.
Where you actually have communion with God.
Absolutely.
And January 1983, and been through the worldwide communion service, and it was just huge, huge success. But there were, we lacked considerable having money enough to take care of it all. We'll have to take up it again tomorrow because you only got 30 seconds left. But I went up there at the prayer cabin and got the answer, and we talked about it.
Well, we need to hear the rest of that.
Amen. Yeah.
We'll get it tomorrow.
Yeah, we will.
That's all.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Great God.
The Bible says when I'm born again, the old passes away and I'm a new creation. So why is there still a struggle with depression, anxiety, and all the problems I had before?
In his book, Spirit, Soul, and Body, Andrew Womack answers that question by explaining biblical truths that will help you receive what God has promised you. At the moment of salvation, your spirit is made right with God and fully alive with His power. Then the Spirit of God in you has to flow through your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, to impact your life. As you train your soul to align with your spirit, watch God's promises of healing, peace, power become a reality in your body and everyday life. This book will open your eyes to how God sees you, not by your past, your feelings, or your failures, but by the new you born of His Spirit. You no longer need to live by what you feel. Start living victoriously from the inside out. Order your book, Spirit, Soul, and Body by Andrew Womack, available now for just $9.99. You can experience lasting transformation and triumph in your life as you uncover the truth about who you really are in Christ Jesus. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. This offer is good for 60 days outside the U.S. Shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. I said the greater one. The greater one is right here.
Join us for the Southwest Believers Convention with Kenneth Copeland and our special lineup of guest speakers, July 28th through August 2nd. Register at kcm.org/SWBC today.
Take the word of faith wherever you go with the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Since 1973, KCM has delivered the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine worldwide. We're reaching nearly 400,000 people in 202 countries and territories on 5 continents. All absolutely free. Every magazine contains faith-building articles from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and other guest authors. Read encouraging stories from people like you in testimonies of real-life victory. Equip your kids with powerful tools for spiritual growth in Commander Kelly's Corner. With a variety of viewing formats available, sharing is easier than ever. Download a digital copy for your tablet or mobile device. Click on the interactive magazine option where you'll find bonus content, videos, and downloads. Sign up for your free monthly subscription or download your copy today at kcm.org.
I'm so glad you could be with us today. Don't miss tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, Andrew Womack, and all of our class here reminding you again that God loves you and we love you.
And Jesus is Lord.
Glory. God, yes, amen.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Watch the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast free on kcm.org or KCM's Roku channel. If you would like a free copy of the broadcast to put into your faith library, you can download it on kcm.org or request it on DVD or CD. Keep your heart full of the Word of God and continue to grow in faith. Every believer has a voice, and it is the voice of victory.